So reading from the book of Isaiah, I don't know if you know about Isaiah, but he was a young radical who wanted to call his people back to the truth of things, to the reality of how they should live and how they should, what they should believe and who God was. And they needed reminding of this call back to God again and again. And he spoke to them, and they were struggling and in darkness. And then God spoke through this young man, and these are the words. We're going to have four readers who are going to come and read to us now. So.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy.
They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the cause.
As warriors rejoice when fighting the thunder.
For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them. The bar.
Mighty God,
everlasting Father,
Prince of Peace, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
You will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom,
establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever.
The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you so much. Don't go anywhere, you guys. Just stay there. That's wonderful. I don't know if your father told you, but I've recruited you for the next bit as well. So there you go. So have a card, any cards. I'll take your bits of paper away from you so that you can... Let me take that. That's great. Really beautifully read. So I wonder, can you see me at the back? Are you okay at the back? I want you to feel included. I wonder what you're going to be talking about this Christmas over lunch. What's going to come up this Christmas? I wonder, any vegetarians in the room? You're going to be talking about that at Christmas, I can tell you that. That's what happened with me when my brother became a vegetarian in 1988, and we've been talking about food and vegetarianism ever since on Christmas Day. It becomes a long topic of conversation, and there's moaning and groaning and comparison and whinging and all the rest of it, and moral superiority and all the rest of it. So God bless you if you're talking about that. But what about the weather? Anyone going to be talking about the weather, how wet it's been? Do you find yourself talking about the weather? Or what about, this moves on, doesn't it? I mean, we heard ourselves talking around the table just yesterday about climate change. We moved from the weather to climate change. Anyone going to be watching David Attenborough, some kind of planet thing over the break? Yes, we love those things, but they tell the same story again and again. And I bet there'll be one or two of us who will find ourselves talking about ecology and the world and the environment this Christmas. Will you? I bet you will. You will now, anyway. And of course, others of us will be talking about family. We'll be talking, catching up with each other and hearing the stories. We'll be gathering together and chatting about each other and laughing and joking with each other, trying to find out what's good, what's been hard, what's been difficult. And some of us will talk about our work or what it was like at college or school, and you'll ask questions and try to give answers that make sense in some way and not say too much. And then others will talk about their health. That's me. I talk about that all the time now. I've just hit over the edge, and suddenly that's all I'm talking about. But this is a picture of my mum's hand in mine. And I'm mindful of all those for whom this Christmas time, health is perhaps the predominant issue of their lives, facing a trauma of some kind, a difficulty of some kind. And we'll inevitably want to talk about these things, which then may lead us on to raising our glasses to toast absent friends, those that we love, those that we wish could be with us but aren't anymore. And then, of course, there's politics. Anyone else going to talk about politics over the Christmas meal? Why the nervousness? Why the nervousness? I mean, it's going to be fun, isn't it? It's going to be a happy Brexmas if you do. That's what someone said in the Houses of Parliament recently, although I don't think the joke went down very well. They'll be working hard on on the Brexit stuff behind the scenes, I guess. But it made me think about the slogans that we've been hearing over the last month or so. And I changed the words Brexit for Christmas. And it's quite fun. You see what happens. Some people will wish Christmas for the many and not the few. Maybe that's a good thing to wish for. Or a fairer, greener Christmas. The Lib Dems just want to stop Christmas. Yeah. Yeah. The Scrooges of the world. No, I don't mean the Lib Dems. I just mean those who want to stop Christmas. And then mothers just want to get Christmas done. Yeah. Yeah. So there are many meanings of Christmas. And they're all good. They're all good. And we can't help them. They come at us. And we just have to take them as they come. So it's a family celebration. And of course it is. And it's a wonderful time to gather. It's a celebration of the values of generosity and giving, which we enjoy and gives pleasure to us. I had the school here at the end of term, and I said, what's the best thing about Christmas? And a kid in year five put his hand up, boy. And I said, yes, you, what's the best thing about Christmas? Now, what would you have been thinking his answer was going to be? Well, his answer was giving. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. I would have said presents. There is something about giving that gives us such great joy. And of course, it's a feast in midwinter, which we've been doing ever since there's been winter and night times. And then this is perhaps the one I think is the most important thing, which is that it's a celebration of a whole new political or world order. For the old order of things has gone and a new order is on its way. God is coming. A new politics is arriving in the form of a baby. So what do you see at Christmas? Some people see a manger. Now, you need to watch the screen, and then I want you to see if you can make whatever you see on the screen with your bits of card. Is that okay, you guys? Yeah? Okay. So watch whichever screen. Yeah, that one or that one. Yeah, it's great. You ready, Dad? Yeah, you ready? Ahead of me. Okay, great. Okay, here we go. So the manger, there you go. Okay, can you make the manger, please? Yeah, can I make the manger? Okay, let's see, go. Okay. I chose the wrong family, didn't I? I did. I definitely chose the wrong family. You see, we see the manger with the baby in it, and it's a wonder, isn't it? I got sent a message this week, or just yesterday, last night, by Justin Welby. Me, I got a message. Actually, I looked at his Instagram thing, and he put this thing up. Can you see the picture? It's really clever. It says, Emmanuel, God with us, but it's in his handwriting upside down. And he said this, the Christmas story is so familiar, it's easy to forget. It turns the whole world upside down. This is God taking the risk not just of being vulnerable human baby, but being born in the last place you'd expect to find him. Picture the scene of Jesus' birth, dirty, makeshift, less than ideal, perhaps embarrassing or shameful for Mary and Joseph, but God just wanted to be with us. This is God saying that there are no people I will refuse to love. This is God saying, there are no places I won't bless. This is God saying, whoever is outcast, you will find me among them. This is God saying, things don't have to be neat and tidy for me to love them. God meets us wherever we are, however messy. If you're embarrassed or ashamed, God is neither. So, Justin said, whatever your Christmas looks like, full of joy or sadness, surrounded by people or alone, my prayer is that you will know this, God is with you. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. That's the miracle. Nice one, Justin. Good. Good work. So we see the manger. We won't get used to it again. But you ready for the next one? Okay, this one's a bit easier. I think you'll do this a bit quicker. Okay, so here we go. The king. Okay, yeah, so okay, you can do this one. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the look of pride on your face. Yeah. Can you just turn around for those guys, just to show them that you can do it for the backwards as well? Yeah, very good, very good. We really should have chosen another family. Yeah, we really should have. Well, the king. So this is what I mean by new politics. And this is what the words that you read out contain. They contain the essence of this new politics breaking into our world. For us, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there'll be no end. For he will reign as a king on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. This story of Christmas, we see some, perhaps most, see the manger. And there are maybe fewer of us who see the king coming, the one who comes to express his rule and his reign over us. The king that comes. There's the last one. Can you do that one? Well done. Have you ever felt prouder than you are right now? Yeah. Yes, yeah, that's great. You see, the politics of this new kingdom is a certain kind of politics. It's very different. Well, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not like the kingdom of this world. It's very different. And it's expressed countless times in Jesus' life, and of course, most profoundly in his self-sacrifice of himself. Vaughan is going to come and read to us from another part of that same story that Isaiah spoke. Come on, let's get you a microphone, Vaughan, so everyone can hear. That same story, but instead of Isaiah 9, this is Isaiah 53. We're going to listen to just a short passage. So, Vaughan, you stay there. You're doing great. You're looking great. Yeah.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
So much. Thank you so much. That's great. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's great. I don't know what you see at Christmas, what excites you most, but these three images are my way of trying to connect with the story once again. I see the manger, this incredible story of God coming down in humility and vulnerability to me, to us, taking on our flesh, God with us. I think many people see the manger, but I'm not so sure that so many people see the king, the child that grows to exert his authority over their lives and invites them into his rule and reign. But we gathered here today, come. come to him and honor him as king. So many people see the manger, maybe fewer see the king, but I think even fewer see the politics of this new kingdom. The signs are there right at the very beginning, but they finish in the most dramatic of ways. This light of the world comes into our darkness and reveals his truth and his light in the most powerful of ways. This politics that we are invited to exhibit and demonstrate to the world around us, in our families, in our communities, in our nation, is one that looks like Jesus. Do you remember this song? Do you remember this song? From heaven you came, helpless babe. I love the words for this. Entered our world, your glory veil, not to be served, but to serve and give your life that we might live. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Then the poem jumps to, from the beginning, right? This is the story right at the manger, but then it jumps to the Garden of Tears. Where's the Garden of Tears? It's Gethsemane, the bit when Jesus kneels on the ground. There in the Garden of Tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will but yours. He said, this is the politics of the kingdom that we must and are called to exhibit. And then the story jumps to the cross, and it says, come see his hand and his feet. The scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant king, who calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. And then it finishes with this invitation, which we all sing together. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him. You see what Graham Kendrick has done. He's put the king, and he said, we want to serve him. We come under him, and he is our king. We enthrone him. So let us learn how to serve, and in our lives enthrone him. Each other's needs to prefer, for it is Christ we're serving. We are to be like Christ to one another. This Christmas day is an opportunity for us to reconnect with the reality of who God is and to become the kind of church that he longs for us to be. Do you see this picture? It was a card given to me last night. I'll finish with this. David, the bell ringer, came down the steps having rung the bells beautifully at midnight and then came down and he gave me this card. Can you see Jesus in the middle? And then right down at the bottom, can you see what's right at the bottom of the picture? Can you see that? It's a little lamb. But can you see how the lamb is lying? The lamb is not on its feet. The lamb is lying down, ready for slaughter. It's got its legs tied up. The lamb given away to us. This is the story of Christmas. Many people see the manger. A few more, a few less see the king. I wonder who of us will see the politics of this new kingdom coming. It looks like this, the lamb upon the throne. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Eugene Peterson put it like this, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish. This is a whole new kind of politics, and I think we have something to do this year. I think we have a purpose to live out. And that's not to be a Christmas day people, like just today, but to live our lives like Christmas day really draws us into. And this is our calling as a church, as a group of people, to be people who look like Jesus, learning how to serve and learning how to enthrone him together. Amen. Let's do it. Let's do it. And allow me to hold you to account for this vision this year. Amen. Amen.